In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be with you after being gone for 12 weeks on maternity leave. Now, before our son's birth, people here, all of you, tried to warn us that our lives were going to change. And that, I learned, was an understatement. Change is such a gentle word for the total metamorphosis of one's life. Jordan and I have jokingly referred to it as the best of times and the worst of times. Because at any moment, you're passing back and forth a screaming bundle for hours on end, like a hot potato. And then there he is in the back. And then the next minute, you're getting to see someone smile or laugh for the very first time in their life. And you're getting to read their very first book and experience what it's like the very first time they have the motor skills to reach back and grasp onto you. The experience is profound, and we love Jacoby more than we ever knew was possible. And we're so thankful to this parish for giving us the gift of that time. As wonderful as it's been, though, I've also been looking forward to coming back. And the times that we got to come back or have gotten word about what's been going on here, it just seems like this place has been thriving. I think it says so much about the health of our congregation and about the leaders we have here. So I'm so thankful to this church. And I missed you, and it's good to be back. So thank you. In today's gospel, we are given some very simple instructions. Sell what you have and give what you have away. Now, a lot of people might be thinking that giving what you have away, especially all of what you have away, is impossible. But actually, it's quite easy. And now, more than ever, just think about all of the modern tools that are at your disposal. We have eBay and Craigslist and Amazon, all of which streamline the process significantly. Although, in all practicality, I suggest that you sell your computer last, after you've posted and sold all of your items. Otherwise, it will be very challenging. And then the next part is even easier. Give what you have away. And you can do this the old-fashioned way, by going through the streets and just handing out your money. Or you're always welcome to put it in the church offering plate. Or go on Kickstarter for a number of deserving causes. If only it were that easy, right? The straightforward instructions in this passage and ones like it are ones that we often struggle taking at face value. We might wonder, are we being asked to give away everything or just part? Is this meant to be taken literally or figuratively? Is this message even for us? The disciples were probably wondering the very same thing, because at the end of this passage, although it's not included in our reading today, Peter asks Jesus, is this message for us or for everyone? For those who seek to follow Christ, these teachings on money and possessions can be uncomfortable. And unfortunately, it's in an area that people are already feeling stressed. A study from the American Psychological Association found that almost 3/4 of Americans are experiencing financial stress, and almost 1/4 of Americans are in extreme financial stress. Many people are carrying this burden, and then they come to church and hear sermons on passages like this that make them feel like they're never doing enough, never giving enough, and maybe never will. So it might be why people don't usually like hearing sermons on money and why some pastors avoid it if they can. The truth is that many of us are struggling in this area. And the last thing people need is to come to church and feel more beat up or get more stressed out. But I don't think it's how we have to look at these passages. Because the teachings of Jesus aren't meant to make our burden even heavier. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So if we feel more weighed down by reading something in the text, we know that something's not right. Feeling challenged is good. We're supposed to feel challenged. But burdened? No. Rather than seeking to make us feel stressed or inadequate, I believe that when Jesus talks about money and possessions, he's trying to give us a whole new way to look at them. One that can address financial stress. One that runs counter to how society equates one's wealth with one's worth or potential. And this passage especially helps us understand what that alternative vision is. First, Jesus says, "Do not fear. It's God's desire to give you God's kingdom." This can remind us that while our financial situation might be difficult, it doesn't have to have total control over our lives. Even in times that we struggle, there is so much more to who we are than what we have and what we own. That's not to deny that practically we do need money to get by in this society, and that life is very hard without it or when things are tight, especially for those who have been systematically excluded from wealth or who find themselves in financial difficulty. But even still, we have to remember that Jesus was speaking to impoverished peasant classes and was saying, regardless of our financial situation, we will always have an inner richness to draw on, and one that can't be reduced to class or circumstance. It is that wealth and abundance that comes from sensing God's Spirit within us. And throughout scriptures and even in our own lives, we can see examples of how a person with means can live their lives in financial anxiety if they're led by fear and greed, while at the same time someone who has very little but has a generous heart and that sense of abundance and can be the richer, happier, and more generous of the two. The passage also refers to selling possessions and giving. However we take this instruction, whether it's literally or in embracing the spirit of it, we are reminded not to get too attached or enamored with stuff. We can look out for whether it's starting to take a priority in our lives, or if our acquiring gets compulsive, or if we're spending too much time just thinking about those things that we want but don't have. When we see that's happening, we can shift our focus to appreciating the things we do have and also being generous with it and holding it loosely. So in this way, perhaps the question we can ask ourselves today isn't, will we go home and sell our possessions? But could we part with them if we felt called to? Could we leave this stuff behind if, like the disciples, one of life's great adventures stood before us and said, "Come and follow"? Finally, at least for our purposes today, the passage says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." As Jesus points out, where we spend our money and even our time and other resources is a good indicator of where our hearts are. So we can think about what we spend our money on, asking, does this accurately reflect the desire of my heart? For example, we can look at whether our spending supports the kind of world we want to see and the kind of world that God has called us to co-create. We know that we are caught up in a complicated system of consumerism and that many of the products and services that are available to us come from companies with bad practices, ones that would exploit workers, abuse animals, or bring about irreparable damage to our environment. These things do not represent Christ's heart for the world or a Christian's heart for the world. So perhaps one of the challenges for our time is to be more aware of the systemic issues of injustice that money can contribute to, becoming more aware of where our purchases come from, and staying present to those spiritual and moral dimensions of how we manage what we have. The connection of our treasure and our heart is also about investing in things that have lasting significance, that can't be destroyed or taken away. These are the things like our experiences, the love we share with another person, or the intangibles that make us a better person and that we get to take with us into the next life. Today, take some time to think about what those things are for you and if they're getting enough attention. The wisdom of Jesus is that there is another way to look at money than what we're so used to. It calls us to see the value of life outside of economic terms, which can bring healing and hope to people who are stressed in this area. It also challenges us to think more carefully about how we manage our resources and see them as a means to oppose injustice. We have been given a new way of looking at what we have, one that is freeing and challenging, one that helps us see our worthiness and our inner wealth, but also helps us see our potential to do even more with what we have. So don't be afraid. Hold what you have loosely, use it wisely, give it freely, and experience the riches of God's kingdom. Amen.